Now comes the music. Along my journey, one of the writers reminds me of a musician by the name of Eric Jenness. Eric is a classically trained composer and pianist. So I call him, and he agrees to write the original score and also write the original liturgical music. We also agree that we will record these hymns so that we can introduce new generations to beautiful liturgical music. So now comes the first miracle. On Tuesday morning, I traveled to the University of Northern Colorado, close to Eric's home, to record 25 college student performers. Now, this is in the middle of the third worst snowstorm in Colorado history, with temperatures around zero, with the wind chill below zero. The roads are complete glass, and you really can't tell road from dirt. Everything is white. This is also a very rural area, pretty much cow pasture territory. No one is out unless they have to be. On Tuesday evening, I arrive to the university for rehearsal, and I meet some of the students. Now I want to recount my conversation with Eric. My cell phone rings, and it's Eric. "Jim," he says, "I have just totaled my car." "Eric, are you okay? Do you need me to call an ambulance?" "Jim, I rolled my Jeep. My 10-year-old son Sam is with me." "Eric, are you okay?" "Yes," he says, "we are both fine. A couple of Latino guys in a pickup truck have stopped and are picking us up. We are coming to you." Click. Eric hangs up, and I wonder, is he hallucinating? Did he just say that two Latino guys at 8 o'clock at night on a backcountry Colorado road in the middle of this snowstorm are bringing them here? I look up and simply ask, "Lord, what is going on?" Eric arrives to the school with his 10-year-old Sam, who exclaims, running in, "That was so cool!" He makes us all smile, and we finish the rehearsal. The next day, Eric travels to get his car. He arrives to find that in the accident, all of the windows of the Jeep were blown out, yet neither he nor Sam had any cuts from the glass. Eric stands stunned. As we talk on the phone, he tells me, "Jim, there is a piece of glass about 10 inches in diameter stuck in my headrest. How am I not dead?" "Eric," I tell him, "I am truly sorry that you totaled your Jeep, but you are my first miracle. I knew from this moment that we were under attack, but I also knew in faith we would prevail." I personally believe that these two strange men who appeared on this lonely road and then simply drove off without saying a word to Eric or Sam were their guardian angels. Now on to other crosses. No apostolate can be complete without a cross. You already heard about one, but now we can see what the other 40 artists faced. We discovered a very interesting pattern during the production of this project. Satan began to attack the artists through the technology they were using. Every day for the following 7 months, I received a call from at least one of the artists exclaiming that their computer had locked up and they were having to recreate something. Toward the end of the project, it got so bad that my video production company would put a tape in from our project and the system would not read it. They would take out that tape, put in a tape from a different project, and it would read just fine. What we finally realized is a very important point. The artist was tested to see if they would become frustrated with the project. Satan knew that if he could keep them from using their God-given talents on the work, then perhaps one less soul might be saved, or even better, he could stop the project. Once we realized what was happening, it became a rallying point for each of us, and something that each artist takes a great deal of consolation in, knowing that they did not allow themselves to become frustrated, and then they allowed God's talent to be used in a very beautiful way.